And here to talk about this new young generation and what's going on with them and their faith, we have Dr. Doug Potter from Southern Evangelical Seminary.
We have reconnected. Dr. Potter, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
To be with you. Good morning.
So, New Barna Research, and this is a great question, I think, to ask anybody, not just youth, but because so many people say, you know, what religion are you? What faith are you? And, oh, I'm Christian. But that can mean so many different things. So what did they find out from this new survey that what were youth really mean when they said that they were Christian?
This is a fascinating survey. I've not really seen one like this before, but they surveyed about 25 different countries. So this is not just the United States of America. About 15,000 youth ages between 18 and 35. And they found out that about 47% of the respondents said that they did not feel that the church could answer their questions or solve their spiritual doubts.
Wow.
And about two-thirds said that they were not deeply loved or felt accepted in the churches.
Wow. Sobering numbers right there.
Did it give any insight to why they felt that way?
Well, yeah, they had several other things. They thought that the church was hypocritical. They couldn't answer the questions about science. They couldn't solve the issue of human suffering. And all these people in this survey are somehow connected. Many of them grew up in the church. They looked at the church as being judgmental, anti-homosexual. But if you look at those first two things that I gave you, that really is the insight into what the problem is and what the church needs to solve. And the first one, if people can't have their questions answered, then they're not getting truth. They're not getting knowledge in the context of the church. And the second one, if they're not feeling loved and accepted, then the church needs to reach out and love them. And all these are intricately tied into discipleship.
Did they list some of the specific questions that they felt the church couldn't answer or didn't answer?
Well, only we can kind of tell from the survey that the church didn't deal with issues, particularly regarding science or the problem of evil. They didn't deal with issues of sexuality. And then they looked at the church as being very judgmental, being very narrow-minded, and actually one of them is actually being out of touch with reality itself.
So with those that you just mentioned, you know, judgmental, out of touch with reality, and how the culture is influencing them, how will they be receptive if we do bring them the truth, especially the things like homosexuality? How are they going to receive that if present them as truth, and how can we convince them?
Well, actually, it's Christ that laid out that pattern for us because he connected truth with disciple-making in the context of love. He said in the gospel that you will know me. People will know that the Father has sent on by the love that you have for one another. So it's in the context of making disciples, and this is what the church, in my opinion, is failing to do, broadly speaking. We must involve truth in discipleship. We must involve love in that. And it's in that context that truth will be received, and it will be accepted, and they will recognize that indeed the Father has sent the Son and that Christianity is true.
Ah, yeah. So his was almost relationship first, and then let's walk them into those truths that
they need to understand. It's not necessarily that you want to put one before the other. It's both. You need to have truth and relationship. If all you have is a relationship without the truth, then you're failing to make disciples. And if all you do is give people truth and you don't have a relationship with them, then you're failing to make disciples. You must connect the two together. And the church is really forgetting this, broadly speaking, with regards to, and I think this survey reveals that the church is not making disciples.
So how can we as the church, what do we need to do to connect that truth, that relationship together? What are some concrete things that we might be able to do to start addressing these issues?
Yeah, I think that the church needs to emphasize discipleship making. They need to start it very young. Paul tells Timothy, a very young pastor, reminds him of his youth being brought up in the scriptures. Discipleship is intentional. It starts very young, and it must integrate, I think, at least five areas, and maybe more, and maybe some sub-areas, but we need to integrate truth as found in philosophy, apologetics, biblical studies or the Bible, theology, and evangelism. That's extremely important that we recognize there is truth outside the Bible, and this needs to be incorporated into the church and into a discipleship context.
It sounds like, too, we need to kind of wake up and get our acts together as individuals and get in the Word more, make sure that we're grounded, right, instead of living a wishy-washy, lukewarm life.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that not only our church leaders, but anybody that is involved in making discipleships, building relationships, needs to get trained in all of these areas. And Southern Evangelical Seminary is really set out to help lay people. We offer certificates, classes in these subjects, and can help people get integrated, get trained in these subjects, and incorporate that into the ministry of the church. And this can be done online. This doesn't have to be done with you coming to campus. We have many ways to connect with you. And there's many other places to get get this kind of training. A lot of ministries out there in apologetics as well.
And Doug, do you think, you know, because as a pastor, you know, I deal with these issues. We talk about things like homosexuality, the transgender movement, and what's happening with that. Do you think as a church that even when we're engaging that, sometimes I feel like we engage it on the territory of the world. We engage it there instead of engaging it from the perspective of the Bible. For example, you know, you take the transgender movement. You have someone who's struggling with their sexuality. The world tells them, you're a mistake, your body is a curse, and the only solution is to mutilate your body and pump you full of all these drugs. And I think as Christians, we have a much more loving response, an affirming response to that person to say, you are not a mistake. Your body is not a curse. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is who you are in Christ. And which to me is a much more loving and accepting message than what the world is giving them.
Oh, that's exactly right. There's no doubt about it. We're in the image of God. And this is evident, even without the Bible, this should be evident to people that we are human beings. We are rational creatures. We are different than everything else. We are specially made by a creator who can have a relationship with him. And indeed, we have natures, we have a certain kind of existence that is created a certain way towards certain ends. And we know what good is and we know what bad is. And we can move ourselves and direct ourselves towards what is good and be virtuous. And the Bible tells us that we can do this in a context where we know and love God, where we receive eternal life, and we are working on getting better, indeed, to bring honor and glory to God. That is our purpose and function in life.
I know that, you know, the church is going to be accused of being judgmental. How much of that is just sometimes just bad theology or bad action on the part of the church? And how much of that is going to be inevitable in a culture that glorifies sexual license if we're going to hold up biblical morality? Is there some level where we're going to get that no matter how well and how lovingly we present the biblical truth?
Yeah, we certainly are. I mean, if you look at a church like Corinth and how Paul had to deal with Corinth and sexual immorality in the church and how he basically said that those who are unrepentant with regards to it need to go through the process of church discipline. So it's not the fact that we shouldn't be judgmental. We need to be judgmental, but we need to give that into a context of showing and demonstrating, like you just did with regards to the Bible and like philosophy and other subjects, theology can tell us outside the Bible in terms of why this is wrong, why this is bad for the person, why this makes a bad human being and manifests sin in their life, and the fact that that Christianity has a solution to this problem and to implement this solution in the context of the church in a loving discipleship. But also, you know, as James Dobson says, love must be tough. We must tell people what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false, and to do that in a loving context.
So with that, sometimes we'll swing either way of the pendulum to either extreme. What are some of the key things that we need to be alert of and be careful of and take those first steps to better love those and accept those and also communicate with the youth?
Oh, yeah. You've got to get to know them. You've got to get down on their level. You just can't do it from the pulpit. You've got to get down into the pew. You know, a lot of the people that I know that have stayed in the church are people that had a mentor that just came alongside of them and just asked what was going on in their life, was kind of an example for them, just showed interest in them. As men and women today, we need to do this with our youth. We can't just put them in a group and hope everything's going to be okay and just send them to church hoping everything is going to be okay. But people in the church need to take opportunity to mentor. I had that in my life with a humble man, with an intellectual man who humbled himself before the Lord and just gave me a good example. And it wasn't so much what he said to me or even what he did with me. It just he took an interest in me. And that's what our youth need to do or need to have done to them today to keep them in the church.
We're talking with Dr. Doug Potter from Southern Evangelical Seminary. And Dr. Potter, you wrote a blog about five truths the church needs today to engage people's questions. Tell us about that and how we can get to take a look at that.
Yeah, the blog is at ses.edu. That's our website. Just go there and click on blog, and it'll be in the list that we have. We have several of them there, and you can also search for it there as well, where it says five truths the church need to engage people's questions today.
And we are talking with Dr. Doug Potter. He is assistant professor of apologetics and theology at Southern Seminary. And Dr. Potter, we want to thank you for spending some time with us. Obviously, these are big issues and big challenges that we have in the church to reach this next generation. But we thank you for helping equip the church to be able to take that on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.